My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Hertzback & Company in Arlington, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Brett Carr from Hertzback, and Gal. How do you pronounce your first name and last name, please?
Gal Bornstein.
And what's the name of the company?
The Bornstein Group.
Excellent. We have our guests today include Laura Lott, President and CEO of American Alliance of Museums, followed by Tim Springer, co-founder and CEO of Level Access, Nate Andorsky, CEO of Creative Science, and Larry Ebner, who is founder and CEO of Capital Appellate Advocacy. Let's get to know our first guest, Laura Lott, President and CEO of American Alliance of Museums. Laura, what is the American Alliance of Museums?
We are a community of 35,000 museums and museum professionals of all different types and sizes, from art museums to zoos, and from the national museums to the tiniest gem museums that are found in every community across the country.
Wow. And when was this organization started?
We were founded in 1906.
And how long have you been the head of this organization, the president and CEO?
For 3 years.
For 3 years. And what's your job as the CEO nowadays?
So AAM is the chief advocate for the museum field, as well as the purveyor of national standards and best practices for museum excellence. So I lead that work on behalf of the entire field.
So isn't part of your job to make sure that you're engaging to your audience is engaged with different constituents?
No, one of the biggest challenges that museums face is to continued relevancy and engaging people in new and interesting ways to take advantage of the education that museums offer.
Mm-hmm. Brett, you want to find out about Laura's childhood?
Tell us what you were doing when you were 8 to 14 years old.
Sure. So I was the typically, I think, overachieving eldest child who was involved in just about everything. I joined Girl Scouts at the veriest early point I could when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. How far did you go in the Girl Scouts?
I went all the way through the senior level and earned my Gold Award.
Oh, so that's like Eagle Scouts for Boy Scouts.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And you also got involved with student government, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was involved in student government both in high school and in college.
Why'd you bother getting involved with student government?
Saw an opportunity to play a leadership role in making each of those places better.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, I think I was driven by one of the tenets of Girl Scouts is actually to leave a place better than you found it. I think that has been a driving force throughout my education.
What do you mean?
Well, even to this day, the reason that I have spent most of my career in the nonprofit world is because I have found it fulfilling to be part of organizations that are making the world a better place. I think that museums make the world a better place, and the American Alliance of Museums helps to make museums better.
Mm-hmm. Cal?
Laura, I'm very interested in the path that you took as a child to leadership. It sounds like every position that you had almost led to a leadership position. Why are you not a follower? Why are you a leader?
My dad was an entrepreneur. The encouragement I got from home was always that I could do anything, and so I think it just followed the opportunities to be the first, be the best, and go to the top.
Would you say it connects to being a first child?
Very well might be. Mm-hmm. It started at birth.
So what did your parents do?
So dad was owned an auto body repair shop, and mom was a nurse.
Which do you think you were more like?
Definitely more like my dad.
Why would you say that?
I think we're both stubborn, risk-taking, and hardworking.
How would this risk-taking show up? How else did this risk-taking show up?
Well, one of the things that I did early in life was a teacher in high school gave me an opportunity to, or suggested I apply for a exchange studentship in Tokyo, Japan. So I, at the age of 15, applied and up and moved to Tokyo.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Hudson Valley, New York.
Was it common for your friends to do foreign student exchange programs?
I was the first one in my school system to do this.
You were the first one in your school system to do this, and I assume that you knew Japanese when you went to Tokyo?
I didn't know a word.
Wait a second. What did your parents think of this idea?
They knew that I was driven to do everything that I could to be the first person in our family to go to college, and so they set aside all of their personal feelings about letting their daughter go around the world to let me pursue that goal.
I sense a lot of risk in the decisions that you're making. How does that translate into being a CEO or a successful CEO today, especially in a nonprofit environment?
Yeah. Well, still to this day, I think that every day we have to make decisions based upon less information than we would like to have, but take risks to keep our organizations moving forward.
But being risk averse in a nonprofit environment, how do you inspire your board and the people around you? What do you use? What's the magic trick?
I'm lucky to have found a place where I think that our board and is not risk adverse, and so we make a strong case and we have out valves to to change course when we need to, and just making those tough decisions I think is something that people respect.
So it comes back to the childhood where you took risk that were calculated or just mitigated.
Yeah, I'm not sure that at 15 I realized the risk of leaving and going to Tokyo for a year, but certainly learned a lot there and learned inherently the value of making that kind of
risk. You were there for a year? It wasn't just a week or two?
It was a year.
Uh-huh. What did you learn in student government that has anything to do with running a 35,000 person constituency organization nowadays?
Yeah, I think it's still about risk taking and tough decisions. There's a thrill that I think I get from leading a group of people and setting a course and again making change and making it for the better.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what else are you thinking?
It sounds like risk fuels you.
Yeah, tell us about the pilot stuff.
So about 15 years ago, I went out and got my private pilot's license.
Why?
I was interested in doing it.
What did your husband do for a living?
My husband is in the aviation industry.
So you decided you want to get your pilot's license. Did you ask your husband's permission?
No.
Oh, so what happened? Tell us about this.
So I was always around people who flew airplanes either for a living or for fun.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted to be part of that club and went out to the flight school and signed up, and I was addicted from my first takeoff.
When did your husband find out you did this?
Oh, he knew pretty quickly, but he knew that he had no power to stop it, even if he wanted to.
Did you ever take him up flying?
Oh, yeah. He goes up all the time.
Did he behave himself? I mean, he enjoyed himself?
He thinks he's the pilot sometimes.
Oh, but you know what you're... So if we were doing a good interview, what else should we be learning about you that we don't know right now?
Well, I think one of the things that is driving me throughout all of the things that I've done is the value of experiences. And, whether it's earning badges as a Girl Scout or having an experience in situ in a place like Tokyo.
Isn't that what these museums are all about?
That's exactly what museums are all about. And so I see it both in my own life and in the life of my now 6-year-old who has been to more museums than most grown-ups. The learning that she gets from those experiences is invaluable.
So what you felt you needed is what you're trying to provide others.
That's right.
Hmm. So do you ever get a chance to visit any of these museums?
I have been to over 600 museums since taking the helmet.
Oh, my gosh. And why do you do this? Because you have to?
It's a part of the job to make sure that our members know that we're there.
Do you enjoy going to the museums?
I love them. There are gems all over the country that I never knew existed before.
Like, what do you enjoy about museums? What are you talking about?
They, you know, each museum has not only it's a unique collection with unique objects, but the stories that they're able to tell to really bring those objects to life are so thrilling when you take the time to pay attention to them.
And you're taking your six-year-old daughter to different museums.
Yes.
Why do you do that?
She loves it. I'm fortunate to work in a field where I can bring my daughter with me. And I think that...
How do you think this affected her?
She has had more exposure to more things than I think I did in most of my...
How's that affected her, the exposure?
She makes connections to things.
What are you talking about?
She has seen a lot of places and learned a lot of specific facts and somehow the synapses in the brain connect in a brighter way when you have that kind of exposure than when you're limited to, you know, one place, one experience.
How do you think it's going to affect her?
I think that she is going to go far. She might be the president of the United States.
So you're telling me one of the benefits of parents taking their kids to museums is the exposure.
Absolutely. It's not available through any other means.
So just like travel broadens, those museums broaden, but you don't have to go overseas.
That's absolutely right. You can visit the entire world by going down the street to a number of the Smithsonian museums.
Do you really believe that?
I do.
Give me that again, a different way. What do you mean?
You can visit anywhere in the world by going to any number of museums down the street in the Smithsonian by hearing and experiencing the stories and the objects and the artwork from around the world.
What's the website address of this organization known as the American Alliance of Museums?
It's aam-us.org.
Let me have that again.
aam-us.org.
We've been speaking with Laura Lott, who's the president and CEO of the American Alliance of Museums, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Nancy West, Xtari Federal Services Group.
And what do you guys do?
We're a management consulting firm that handles business and workforce diversity programs.
Oh, interesting. Where are you from originally?
Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
What was it like growing up in Newcastle, Pennsylvania?
Boring and racist.
Uh-oh. And how'd you know that? What are you talking about there?
There were no job opportunities, and the doors were always slammed in my face.
Ooh, what did Mom and Dad do for a living?
I never knew my father. My mother was a housekeeper.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother.
And what do you mean the opportunities you weren't exposed to or that were slammed in your face? What are you talking about there?
Well, for example, my grandmother was a college graduate but could never get a job. And as I came along, I could never get any meaningful job, though I was smart.
Ooh, okay. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
What it has to do with is making sure that people have opportunity, and oftentimes we find that the bias isn't intentional and just opening people's eyes to economic opportunity and benefiting the whole population as a whole.
So what you needed back then is what you're trying to provide for others. You're
exactly.
trying to open the door for them.
Exactly.
You're like the big door opener for everybody.
Exactly.
And who are your clients?
Airports, transit agencies, redevelopment authorities, private businesses, multinational companies. I work all over the place.
So you're helping, it sounds like larger organizations
yes.
really understand the benefit of diversity?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It really turns you on doing this, doesn't it?
It does.
What's the website address of this organization?
ExtareFederalServices.com.
How do you spell that?
E-X-S-T-A-R-E, FederalServices.com.
And your name again is?
Nancy West.
And you're the founder, owner, managing director of Xtari Federal Services Group?
Yes.
And this has been your business spotlight.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Tim Springer, co-founder and CEO of Level Access. Tim, what is Level Access? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, so we make it so blind people can use your website and apps. And the reason that's a good business is it allows you to conform with laws like the ADA.
Wait a minute. Wait. You're telling me websites need to comply with ADA laws?
Big question at the time, but yeah, the same way when you build a building, you make sure it conforms. When you build a website these days, you do the same thing.
Huh, interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
So we got about 170 people in the organization right now.
How'd you get a job with this company?
Yeah, so best way to get a job, start the company. So I started it back in 1999.
How young were you when you started this business?
I was 19, actually, when I started it.
Did you go to college?
Yes, yeah, so I was at school, dropped out of school to start it. This was back in 1999 when it was the dot-com era, so that sounded like a great idea at the time.
So you dropped out of college to start this business, and it's now 170 people. Okay, Brett, what do you got?
Earlier you mentioned that you moved from Cleveland to Miami when you were about 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah,
so how did that affect you?
Yeah, so Cleveland's a pretty homogenous environment, and so we went from a world where, you know, everybody kind of looked the same, talked the same, and acted the same to the exact opposite end, where it was a heterogeneous environment, everybody was different, and really gave me a strong, I guess, appreciation for diversity, and that everybody's different, and there's beautiful and unique things about everybody.
What made you start the company?
So we started it for a combination of two reasons, but really the first one is just it sounded interesting to do. I had always wanted to start a company from the time I was three, and I had a chance to do that. And in that time frame, it was a good time to start a technology company.
What do you
company.
Mean you always wanted to start a company since you were three? What was going on in your early childhood?
So I don't know if entrepreneurs are made or born. In my case, I was born. It just that gene was on from a very early age.
What kind of vision or what kind of – how do you know that? How do you know that from three on? Were you like dreaming of business ideas or what was going on there?
So some of that. I think ultimately I really had a strong desire to build, and that was just a deep and innate sense.
How did that show up in 8 to 14 years old, that desire to build? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time working on computers in that era, and my older brother was into computers, and so I kind of followed that, and you do a lot of building.
Uh-huh. Didn't you tell us you were brought up in a religious context?
Yeah, so religion was a pretty strong part of the rhythms of the life that I grew up in. And as part of that, I think I also received a sense of fate and sort of inheriting your destiny. And I kind of rebelled against that pretty strongly. I felt like I was in control of my life. And what's the biggest thing you can do there? Start a company.
So I guess were your parents in love with the idea of you dropping out of college?
They were surprisingly supportive. They were definitely not in love with the idea and made their displeasure known. Mm-hmm. But they also knew that there was no talking me out of it.
So you were 19 when you started this business. It's now 170 people. And your older brother, you mentioned earlier, had exposed you to computers. What did Mom and Dad do for a living?
So Mom, high school English teacher. Dad was a real estate developer early in his career and then had a second career as what could best be called a missionary working in the religious area.
missionary. How does that connect to what you do today?
So I think one of the things I inherited from my dad, was taught by my dad, was like a sense of social justice, and that there are moral and ethical truths and things we should do that are correct in our lives. Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits I have is my company gives me the chance to do that.
So it sounds like, unlike maybe most capitalists, you actually attach a social good to what you do?
I'd like to think so. I think this concept that you have to be a capitalist or someone that does good is a false dichotomy. I think you can do well financially and you can do well in society.
And how does that relate to your childhood, if there is a relationship?
I think the connection really comes back to just core moral and ethical underpinning, and the sense that there is right and there is wrong, and if you're going to do something that's good for you financially, you might as well do something that's good for people as well.
So faith was a startup and a grown-up for you?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Faith was a startup situation and a grown-up for you?
Yeah.
Huh. So this organization, how's this affected your building this organization, the culture of the organization?
So we're really focused on both operating our business in the best way we can and having a big impact. So we talk about two things. We talk about how do we do financially, but we also talk about how do we do societally. Have we actually made things accessible and usable for people with disabilities? And if we do that, we'll have a really profound impact on society.
So what was the best part of your day? What do you enjoy about your day the most?
So I'm an in-the-weeds operating person. I like the mechanics of running a business. I always have, and I probably always will. I have this idea that there's a platonic ideal of what we should be able to do as a business. Maybe that comes from my upbringing as well. And I want to help get people to that end, to that position.
Mm-hmm. Brad, you have something? So tell us about folks that were very influential in your early life.
So two big themes that came out kind of from my early life, especially as it relates to business leadership and entrepreneurship. You know, my two grandfathers randomly were both entrepreneurs. One was a real estate developer. That was my dad's father. And then my mom's father was a farmer who started a growth cooperative.
So you got two different industries, and did you ever talk to them about business and stuff like that?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, going back, I was really interested in this stuff from a young age, and so I think they cultivated that interest, and it led to cool places and cool conversations.
Give me an example of what you mean. What are you talking about?
Well, so, like, I had a bank account when I was, like, 3 years old, which is crazy pants. Like, nobody does that. And I would talk to my grandfather about that, and he would say, well, let's talk about interest, and let's talk about loans, and that would be a normal thing to talk about.
So you had an interest at a young age. Who opened up the bank account for you? Was that one of your grandfathers, your parents, or who did that?
So literally, I opened up the bank account for myself. My mother took me into KeyBank, which is a Cleveland bank, and I think I deposited $5 and, you know, 6 cents or something like that.
And you still remember that?
Yeah, formative experience.
And how did that formative experience affect you? How's that affecting you nowadays?
I think it's that in business, scores are kept with dollars and cents. And so respecting that and understanding that if you want to have the impact on society, you got to run a really good business. And that means you got to understand dollars and cents.
All right. So I understand you've built a substantial business. I'm wondering, how do you give back to society?
So I think from a pure mission perspective, what we really focus on is how many people with disabilities can engage in sort of conversations in society in one, and then employment opportunities. And so if we do our job well, we have drastically expanded the opportunity for people with disabilities to participate in a digital society.
Do you ever hear stories about how you've helped people?
We have a bunch. A lot of them come from the level of our customers. And so across a lot of industries, it really comes down to doing what seem like mundane things but are profound for people with disabilities. Being able to go online and file your taxes. That sounds like something we should all be able to do. That can be very difficult without accessibility.
So you're helping folks. Yeah, it's Brett?
No, I have to rewind a little bit. You mentioned the checking account with $5.06. I have to know, what did you use the bank account for?
Oh, I brought something wondrously, like, ridiculous. You know, like, I bought, like, a toy boat or something like that at some point. But, yeah, it kind of stored up there. The story would be better if I still had the checking account to this day. But, yeah, no, we stored it up over a long period of time.
Uh-huh. And what's the website address of this organization known as Level Access?
Levelaccess.com.
Levelaccess.com. And how high is up? Where's the end result of this? What do you see doing with the company?
So I think we want to positively impact the lives of everybody with disabilities on a global level. It's about 1 billion people, and that'll keep my work cut out for me for a while.
Let me have the website address one more time.
LevelAccess.com.
We've been speaking with Tim Springer, co-founder and CEO of Level Access, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Nice interview.
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to BizVod.com and join today.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today, and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Nate Andorski, who is the CEO of Creative Science. Nate, what is Creative Science? What are you guys doing?
We help nonprofits raise more money by building websites and mobile apps.
Give me that idea again. Give me that one more time.
So what we do is we engage with nonprofits to help them reach a wider audience and raise more money through technology.
Interesting. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Columbia, Maryland.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm the middle of three.
In the middle of three. What was it like growing up the middle of three in Columbia, Maryland?
I had a great childhood. It was definitely competitive being the middle of three siblings. Did what I needed to stand out.
What do you mean you did whatever you needed to do to stand out? What are you talking about there?
Well, they always say the middle child syndrome. Sometimes the middle child is forgotten. So I think that I always was trying to do something to be noticed, stand out from my siblings.
Be noticed. Isn't that what you do for your clients?
Exactly. We see opportunity where others don't.
What are you talking about?
We are able to engage with our clients and open their eyes to untapped potential in regards to engaging with supporters and places where they can raise more money.
How young were you when you began helping market stuff?
I was in high school.
Yeah, what happened?
I was working as a busboy, making next to no money, and I was supposed to be saving some money for college. And I decided, after selling a few items for myself on eBay, I needed some inventory, and I started a company called Easy Selling, where I would sell items for other people on eBay and then take a commission.
So you were helping identify things that you could sell and figuring out how to sell them. Well, that sounds like you're a marketing guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're applying that to the world of nonprofits, huh?
Exactly.
Brett?
What did your mom and dad do for a living?
My dad's a doctor and my mom's a nurse.
So how do you think that influenced you?
Most of my family is in the professional field, whether the medical field or a number of them are lawyers, and I never wanted to go down that route, so I'm actually one of the only entrepreneurs in my family.
How does that impact what you do today?
I think it gives me a broader perspective, but it also is a drive to be different, off the unbeaten path.
Do you see the connection between the time that you were the middle child to today?
I definitely do. I definitely do, and I think that's a driving factor of what I do is being different.
What other things do you think that in your life have you done to strive to be different?
I think starting the company in high school definitely was one of them. I also think that throughout my life I've started a number of different initiatives and organizations, and that's a big driver in learning new things that I was.
Earlier, you mentioned that your grandfather was a big influence in your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so my grandfather was from Vienna, Austria. He was actually a Holocaust survivor. He came over to the U.S. with less than $5 in his pocket and just a high school education. And he managed to work his way up as a VP of Clairol, and he's named as the inventor or co-inventor on a number of patents. One of them is the tweezers, actually.
Wow. This is who?
My grandfather.
How do you think that influenced you?
He passed away when I was in middle school, so I didn't really get a chance to get to know him as an adult, but he wrote memoirs before he passed, and I read those memoirs actually in college, and it's really interesting to see a lot of the correlations between the types of things that I naturally do that he did as a child and growing up.
Like what?
There's a story actually in the memoirs of his father, who's also an entrepreneur, and I didn't come across this until I was out of college, and he actually was going through the classifieds, buying old tractors, cleaning them up, and then reselling them for a profit. And funny enough, even before I knew this, I was doing the same thing in college, buying cell phones on Craigslist and then selling them on eBay.
So it's in the blood, this buying and selling and marketing stuff, huh?
Exactly.
It sounds like thinking out of the box as well.
Thinking out of the box, I think the hustle, the perseverance of just finding opportunities wherever they are.
It sounds like you have a lot of creativity pent up.
I do.
And I think it comes out.
I express it in a number of different ways. One is through my company, through creating technology. I also am an avid piano player. I've done stand-up comedy. I've done improv.
How does it all relate to being the CEO today of a successful company?
I think it relates in a number of ways. One of them is the stand-up comedy actually has been very beneficial when it comes to pitching and selling and public speaking, but also learning how to relate to somebody. I guess if you can make somebody laugh, you can almost make them do anything. So that's been a really valuable lesson for me. And then with piano, there's actually studies in neuroscience about creativity in musicians and how it connects the right hemisphere to the left hemisphere.
You see a connection between comedy and making people do things in marketing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
I think being able to understand how people operate, how people engage with other human beings and what makes them tick. Lends itself really well to marketing.
Uh-huh. And what do you do to relax?
I swim and I play piano.
You play piano. And what kind of piano do you like to play? What kind of music do you like to play?
I take lessons currently with a jazz pianist, so it's a lot of improvisation, covers of pop songs, things of those nature.
But I thought the CEO was the boss, but it sounds like you like getting input, like you're getting tutored with the piano.
Yes, I think one of the best qualities as a leader or a CEO is being able to hire people that are smarter than you and get out of the way.
Give me that again. Let me make sure I understand that.
Learning what your weaknesses are and being able to hire people that are smarter than you and getting out of the way.
But I thought the key was, you know, you had to go through brick walls if you were the CEO. So it's like, wait a minute, when do you go through brick walls and when do you stop? And how do you know all that stuff?
You learn by doing, and that's why I started at a very early age.
Uh-huh. So do you have any mentors?
Mostly just my grandfather, who's since passed. I do belong to an entrepreneurship group, a number of individuals that helped me along my way, though, too.
Uh-huh. If your grandfather was here nowadays, how do you think he'd feel about what you've done?
I think he would, well, I know he would be very proud.
Why?
Of what I've accomplished.
Why would that be?
Because, I mean, he had a much harder childhood than I have ever had, and knowing that all that he worked for and went through wasn't in vain.
What do you mean by that?
That I've carried on the passion that he had in life for creating an innovation.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever see yourself retiring?
I don't think so fully. I've noticed that actually as an entrepreneur and a CEO of a company that it's really not about the money. It's more about the stimulation of challenging myself. And I think if I ever fully retired, I would get pretty bored pretty quickly.
Did your grandfather ever fully retire?
No. He actually, even after he officially retired, he was still always working on side projects or creating or inventing. So he never put his mind to rest.
But I thought the American dream was, you know, you get 62, you hit 62 or 65, and you go to Florida and you know go out to dinner every night or something like that.
I think it is for people that don't love what they do.
What are you talking about? I thought, you know, what time do you start playing with emails in the morning?
As soon as I get up.
Like, what time is that?
6 o'clock.
What time do you stop doing them at night?
I try to cut off around 7 or 8.
What's the truth?
9.
Thank you. And the good thing is you get off weekends, don't you?
Sometimes.
No. So why would you go ahead and work 12, 14-hour days, 6 or 7 days a week?
Because that's what drives me. And it's not the work. It's this passion and drive to just create something.
You kept on using that word create, whether it's piano and it's business. You find business a creative passion?
I do.
Uh-huh. Is it servicing the clients, building the organization? Which part of business are you talking about that's creative that you enjoy?
I think it's being able to create something that previously didn't exist, and then the enjoyment that you get from watching other people use that creation to better themselves and their organization. It's incredibly satisfying.
That sounds like inventing, though.
Yes.
And it sounds like also like social impact based on the mission of the company.
Yes.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to figure. So on one hand, you're seeing creativity, creating something from nothing, you know, innovating, and also social impact. But I thought, you know, making money was making money. You're seeing a connection there?
I used to think making money was making money, but I quickly realized once I started making some money and I wasn't as satisfied as I thought I was, I started to realize that my big driver is not money. I mean, I would obviously like to be well off, but it's indeed actually being able to invent things that other organizations and people can use.
All right. So you weren't – wait a minute. I don't understand this. So you were making money and you weren't satisfied. Give me that again. I'm not sure I understand.
So I always thought the goal was to make a lot of money, and I started making money, and I got to the point of the income that I wanted to be at, and I realized that I still wasn't satisfied, and this goal I had been chasing was a never-ending cycle. And really what truly drove me was this passion for inventing.
Inventing. So you think you're going to keep yourself busy the rest of your life inventing one way or another. Maybe the balance shifts. Maybe you'll hang out with a little more vacation or whatever. But you really enjoy the art of creating, huh?
I love it.
Uh-huh. What's the best part of your day?
The mornings.
Why?
It's quiet. No one's pinging me yet. I have some time to relax and enjoy the type of things that I want to do from a creative standpoint, whether it's code or play piano or read. The world isn't up yet, and I have that time to myself.
What's the website address of this organization known as Creative Science?
CreativeScience.co.
Let me have that one more time.
It's CreativeScience.co.
We've been speaking with Nate Andorsky, CEO of Creative Science, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Thanks.
And your name and organization is?
My name is Mark Edward, and I'm with Hertzbeck.
And what is Hertzbeck?
We're a CPA and consulting firm.
And what's your role in the firm?
I'm one of the partners. I oversee our marketing group. I work with nonprofit organizations.
And what do you like about your job?
I love the people that I work with at Hertzbeck and the clients that I come in contact with.
Huh. And I hear an accent. Where are you from originally?
I'm from London, England.
London, England. How young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 36.
And why did you come to the United States?
My wife told me to.
So your wife came to the United States, and this is a number of years ago. What do you like? What do you enjoy about? What's the best part of your day? What do you enjoy doing?
Best part of my day is connecting with people, talking with them often, meeting with them, doing what we're doing right now.
You mentioned to me that you felt grateful. Why do you feel grateful?
I feel privileged. I came to the United States at 36 years old. I was a chartered accountant. I had many doors open for me relatively easily once I got to know people. And I feel very guilty about it. And I've spent the rest of my career, the last 20 years, giving back. That's driven me towards nonprofit organizations, both as a service provider and as a volunteer, a board member. It's a very important part of my life.
What's a very important part of your life?
Giving back, setting the scales straight.
Uh-huh. Why do you do that?
Because I feel privileged. I've been given many advantages that maybe I didn't deserve. That
it sounds to me like you're very grateful. What's your name again, and what's the name of the organization?
Mark Edward, Hertzbeck.
And what's the website address for Hertzbeck?
It's Hertzbeck.com.
Let me have the spelling of that.
Hertzbach.com.
We would speak with Mark Edward, partner of Hertzbeck, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Kevin Robinson, CEO and President of Modern Technology Solutions. Kevin, what is Modern Technology Solutions?
Aerospace, defense, intelligence, services, and solutions firm delivering capabilities to the warfighter.
And how large or how small is this organization?
About 1,000 employees, $210 million in revenue per year.
Wow. And how'd you get a job with this company?
Actually met the founder, Phil Soucy, in 1993, working on a special program to shoot down missiles in the, with the Israelis in the boost phase, so putting missiles on UAVs.
And you were employee number?
8.
And now you happen to be the CEO and president of this organization. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Huntington, New York, Long Island.
And how many brothers and sisters?
2 brothers and a sister.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
And what did that do to you?
Really wanted to set the example. You know, I had a very competitive mindset and really setting an example for my brothers and sisters.
John?
Yeah, what was the influence of your extended family and how big was it?
Yeah, very large Irish Catholic family. Almost all lived in Long Island. I have over 30 cousins, and I'm the oldest of all the cousins. So the first grandkid, and my grandmother's actually only 38 when I was born, so I've had grandparents in my life for a long time.
So who was the most influential member of that extended family in your life?
My Uncle Pat had a big influence on me. He was sort of one of the first engineers in the family, went to the Coast Guard Academy, and then started a business here in Northern Virginia after he got out.
And was he the one that got you down here?
He did. So I was looking around, and he knew about this place, and I wanted to work on missile defense, so I came here to work on the Strategic Defense Initiative.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Tell me about Mom.
Mom lived for the family. I mean, I'm blessed to have just 2 wonderful parents, and Mom was there every day, and she lived for the family and cared for us and just had a tremendously blessed upbringing.
What did you take from her influence throughout your life and as a leader now of this large
organization? Genuine caring about people, being empathetic, listening, putting other people before yourself.
Wait. You're the CEO of a 1,000-person organization. I read the newspapers. What are you talking about, putting people before yourself and caring about people?
Well, we're a 100% employee-owned company. We made that decision 15 years ago. We decided you never see good things happen when companies get bought, so we're all in it to make this work for all 1,000 employees.
So how is modern technology like an extended family with 30 cousins?
Very close friendships, relationships. I just got back from visiting all 15 offices around the country, and we care about each other. It's non-hierarchical. Everyone has a role to play in our success.
Andrew?
What sports did you play growing up, Kevin?
Football and baseball since I was 7 all the way through college.
And we're catching a theme here, but what was your role in what positions did you play, baseball, football?
When I was young, I was a quarterback, I was the pitcher, I was a shortstop, I was the captain of my high school teams, I was the captain of my college teams.
Not surprising.
Yeah. So your role. What's the similarity between your role then and your role now?
It is all about team ball. We talk about it at work all the time. Everyone has a role to play, and everyone has to do it in a genuine way to make the team successful. It's not about who's the boss. It's about the team and team goals.
Brian?
Yes, you talked a bit about your father was a steam fitter. He was probably a union guy, had a very defined career path, but a relatively successful career path, it sounded like.
Yes.
What made you to sort of forego that more secure path and decide, I want to go into something a bit more risky like my Uncle Pat?
Yeah, my dad always put academics number one. I also worked for a number of years for another uncle who owned a construction firm, a carpentry firm, and I carried sheetrock and loaded truck for 3 years and did all the mundane duties. All the guys I worked with, just great people, always said, don't do what I do. Go out and get your education and do something different. That always stuck with me.
So that experience of sort of hard physical labor, probably in the summer too when it's hot, sort of impressed you that you should go on and get your education and move on from there?
Yep, and I had a football coach help me recognize Rensselaer RPI at my school and got an aeronautical engineering degree.
Yep. What did the old hands at the sheetrock company call you?
They call me the sheetrock monkey. Go get unload that truck, sheetrock monkey, and bring it all here and start nailing it up on the wall.
And so, how does that show up today at Modern Technologies?
I think you have to be humble, right? It's a sort of understanding that everybody has a key role to play. Do it with humility and be genuine in who you are with everybody.
Nick?
Well, it sounds like you had a very blue-collar, family-oriented upbringing. How do you think that relates to how you deal with your employees?
You expect a lot, hard work. You expect hard work. And so I think, it's a different type of work. But, do what you say. Commit to goals, realistic goals, and then deliver on those goals. And so because people watch what you do, they watch what you say, too, but more important, what you do.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to, in doing the work yourself, being the blue collar work? Are you able to identify with them better, you think?
Absolutely. I think people have different paths in life, and everyone's but everyone what they do, respect it for their personal journey and help them on their personal journey.
So you're the master team builder. I mean, you're all about the team. You were the oldest cousin. You wanted to lead by example. You're the oldest sibling. When you were playing sports, you played a variety of roles, but it was never about me, me, me. You're all about the team. No wonder you're the CEO. How long have you been the CEO of this organization?
6 years. We've had two CEOs, the founder and then now
when you took over, how large or small was the organization?
Again, we're 1,000 people, $210 million.
When you took over, how large or small was the organization?
About half that size, about $100 million and about 500 people.
No kidding. So you managed double the size of the organization in 6 years.
It was a team effort. Yeah.
I figured you would tell me that. Uh-huh. Are you married or single?
I'm married and have four children.
Uh-huh. Similarity between being the CEO of a 1,000-person firm and being a dad?
Well, like my parents, who set a great example, my dad was always in the stands for me, so I'm always there for my kids, so I make that a priority to always be there for the family, be there in their lives.
So you see a connection between your dad being there and what? Give me that again.
I always remember my dad being there for every game I played, no matter if it was college, high school. I played all the time, but he was always there. So being there for your kids, no matter how busy you are, so I make my travel schedule work around my kids' lives.
Wow. Boy, you really are all about the team, aren't you? It's about other people. It's about serving other people.
I see it as the key to success, yep.
Well, you certainly have the right to talk about that. You've built a 1,000-person firm. What's the website address of this organization?
It's mtsi-va.com.
Let me have that again.
mtsi-va.com.
We've been speaking with Kevin Robinson, CEO and President of Modern Technology Solutions. John, can you give me a rundown on who we've been speaking with today?
Our first guest was Don Hendricks, CEO and President of FM Talent Source. Then we talked to Ben Miller, CEO of Fundrise. Our third guest was Jerry Simpson, CEO and President of KiteWire Mobility. And we just talked with Kevin Robinson, CEO and President of Modern Technology Solutions.
Excellent. I would first like to thank the National Association of Corporate Directors, also known as NACD. What is the website address for NACD?
NACDonline.org.
NACDonline.org. And I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Andrew Howard, Howard Insurance, Nick Gehrig, Bremen, Peyton, and Braswell, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, and Henry Stever, NACD, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.